This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An unidentified Wisconsin hospital pharmacist was arrested on Thursday on suspicion of sabotaging more than 500 doses of coronavirus vaccine by deliberately removing them from refrigeration. Nearly 60 of the doses in question were administered before hospital officials determined the medication had been spoiled. Microsoft said the suspected Russian hackers behind the breach of numerous U.S. government agencies also accessed the company's internal source code. Microsoft said they detected unusual activity with a small number of internal accounts, and upon review, they discovered one account had been used to view source code repositories. Microsoft declined to say which source code the hackers viewed. Source code shows how computer programs work and is used to build software. Postseason matchups between number 2 Clemson and number 3 Ohio State are becoming a standard college football tradition. The Sugar Bowl will be the fifth time these two programs have met, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Walmart's Twitter account becomes highly political. USA Radio News' Tim Berg reports.
A Walmart spokesman says a tweet from the company's official Twitter account to U.S. Senator Josh Hawley was mistakenly sent on Wednesday. The tweet to the Missouri Republican read, "Go ahead, get your two-hour debate, hashtag sore loser." The tweet has since been deleted from Walmart's Twitter account. Hawley, who said he would raise objections next week when Congress meets to affirm President-elect Joe Biden's win in the 2020 election, responded to the Bentonville-based retailer from his own account. "Thanks, Walmart, for your insulting condescension. Now that you've insulted 75 million Americans, will you at least apologize for using slave labor?" the Missouri senator tweeted. A Walmart spokesman saying on Wednesday that the tweet was mistakenly posted by an employee on the social media team. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Lawmakers in D.C. pledged earlier this week to challenge Biden's victory in Pennsylvania and other battleground states, alleging local officials failed to follow their own election laws. USA Radio News' Tim Berg has more.
Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley says he would object to the electoral count on January 6th to allow debate on how the election was run. Hawley saying at the very least, Congress should investigate allegations of voter fraud and adopt measures to secure the integrity of our elections. He also reminds everyone on Fox News,
"I don't recall hearing the Democrats make any such outrageous claims when they were the ones who were objecting during the Electoral College certification in 2004 and 2016. Democrats have done this for years in order to raise concerns about election integrity. Now when Republicans, 74 million Americans, have concerns about election integrity, we're supposed to just sit down and shut up in the election process. We had unprecedented interference from the biggest, most powerful corporations in the history of the world, the big tech corporations, all in favor of Joe Biden, censorship like we have never seen before. We have had no congressional investigation of the fraud. We need it. We've had no congressional action. We need that to protect our election." election going forward. So I'm going to make all of these points, and I'm going to try to force a debate about all of these points.
Former U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer, the Democrat from California, said Thursday there was no comparison between her effort to oppose the Electoral College results in 2004 and Republican Senator Josh Hawley's intention to object. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Would you like to be $600 richer in the next 10 minutes? Then make a free phone call and switch your car insurance to AIS. We get it. Car insurance is boring. We make it fast, fun, and easy. You make one call. We shop dozens of the best car insurance companies and offer you a way to save up to $600 on your car insurance. There's so many special deals and discounts. The best way to get them is to call. Based on your area, we have special discounts for military, teachers, engineers, and good students. Even discounts for low mileage and accident-free drivers. AIS has tons of ways to save you money on your car insurance. Make a free call right now to see what you qualify for. New customers who switch to AIS save an average of $600.
800-452-0072. 800-452-0072. 800-452-0072. That's 800-452-0072.
This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show and how you can connect with us 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, go to BillMartinezLive.com. The New York Times best-selling author Joel Rosenberg is with us, and he has done it again. Another brilliant novel, The Jerusalem Assassin. Joel, good to have you with us. How you been?
Hey, Bill. I'm well. Thank God, healthy. Amen. Hope you are as well.
Yes, we are in the midst of COVID-19 that we're all dealing with. And I was thinking about this the other day. Your book couldn't come at a better time for us, because a lot of people are, the First Lady Melania had suggested, a lot of people are staying home. They're reading books. And, you know, why not The Jerusalem Assassin?
Well, you know, that's right. I mean, you should stay home and be with your kids, play games. But you can't watch Netflix all day, people, you know.
Right.
Pick up a novel or a series. And, look, this is an unprecedented moment. I just, you know, I lived through 9/11 in Washington, D.C. with my wife and kids. And we all know how that fundamentally changed our way of living in the United States and around the world in terms of airport security and so forth. But wow, 9/11 didn't shut down the churches. It didn't shut down the NBA. It didn't shut down March Madness or Disney World. This is just extraordinary. And I'm in the States for this Jerusalem Assassin book tour that's all unraveled. My wife and my kids, you know, we live in Israel. We live in Jerusalem, and it's even more a full lockdown there than it is even here. It's just a crazy moment in history.
So you're here without the family right now.
I am, yeah.
And it's, that's gonna be tough.
And every single event has been canceled. So I'm doing radio interviews, and, you know, and it's one of the things, you know, it's a being an author, you can just do interviews from I'm in a hotel room right now, so that's good. And again, people can buy books. You don't even have to go to the bookstore. It'll be delivered to your house. And if they don't do delivery, you just download it to your e-reader, you know, your Kindle, your Nook, your iPad, or get it on your phone as an audio book. And it just, you know, I think so. In that sense, I have an opportunity to keep talking about these issues. You know, it's not like I'm trying to sell a product that nobody can use or even get right now. But wow, what a dangerous moment.
Right. It really is. There's no doubt about it that, as you said, 9/11, and I thought about this earlier, Joel, that at 9/11, the country still had some vestiges of unity. And I was concerned when this outbreak came that maybe because we were so siloed and so bitterly partisan that we wouldn't be able to come together. But what is happening here in this crisis is I'm seeing America come together and it really lightens my heart and gives me some hope that you know, we can get through this together, because people are helping other people, communities are coming together. I mean, we've got this organic community effort that's taking place just out of the natural concern of our fellow men and for our fellow.
Well, isn't it interesting? Yeah, isn't it interesting, Bill? I agree with that. That a crisis that requires you to stay away from people is allowing people, in a sense, in a social community, to come together, not physically, but in terms of how to encourage one another. And you're even seeing signs now that Democratic leaders, I would point to the governor of New York, mm-hmm. saying very positive things, the governor of California saying very positive things about this president, and the president actively trying to help people, not just in red states, but definitely in blue states. In fact, it's the blue states that have been hit hardest,
exactly.
Washington State, Oregon, New York. So, look, that's what we need. And it would be sad if it took us a crisis, a national emergency, what the president today called war. He said we're on a wartime footing. And he's right. And that's the way we have to think about this and come together in that way.
Yeah, with a sense of urgency and purpose. And I believe the vision he's laid out there, the team that he has put together, you know, these, boy, I'll tell you, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx have been terrific in getting the facts out there, all glued together with the vice president. Mike Pence has done a great job in leading that effort together.
Mike Pence was born for this moment.
Yeah.
The guy has so much experience, and he's such a, I mean, people attack the vice president as a Boy Scout, but that's what they mean is he's so honest, he's so down to earth, he's so, and he's just doing such a great job in this crisis. I think the president couldn't have chosen anybody better to be his vice president, and the man is shining right now as a calm, thoughtful communicator of what we're supposed to do, but also he's leading a great team, as you said, the Surgeon General. Never heard of him.
Right.
I love that guy. Never heard of him. Love that guy. And, you know, and the others, exactly.
Dr. Birx, you're exactly right. And I was especially touched and encouraged that one of the first things the vice president did was he prayed.
Yeah,
he prayed.
Exactly.
And he got ridiculed for it. And then, of course, then President Trump, you know, the following weekend, says we're going to have a national day of prayer. I mean, because
I had a friend in Israel email me and say, I think we need to have a national day of prayer. Do you think there's any way you could get word to the president or vice president? And before I could do it, it had just been announced. So
yes.
Clearly, and this is, thank God the president is not saying, we can do it all by ourselves. We don't need God's help. And this is not a president that I would have thought would have asked for God's help. I think 4 years ago, that wasn't something on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. I met him, I know, but I don't know him personally. But I'm really encouraged by how he's asking people of faith to ask God to have mercy on us. Amen.
Exactly. Well, people of faith that I know that are in his inner circle, that was one of the early questions that I'd asked, because I saw this photo on it was on Trump's plane while he was still a candidate, and he was surrounded by these people of faith that were laying hands on him and praying for him. And I asked them straight up, I go, is this legit or is this just a photo op? He says, Bill, you don't know the president. He goes, I want you to know. Yes, he comes with, like the rest of us humanoids, with all the failings and the, you know, there's nothing to hide. I mean, you've got, you know, audio tapes of his loose conversation, you know, and what have you. And so he's out there. Like the rest of us who have fallen, cannot claim perfection. But he told me, he says straight up, he goes, no, you know, he is a man of faith, and he is getting stronger every day. And so for him to make this move and declare a national day of prayer, it seems to be following suit. And God bless him for being surrounded and exampled by the vice president, because we know Michael Pence. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it when it comes to Pence's commitment.
Well, that's right. I've known my wife and I have known Mike and Karen Pence since he was back in the House of Representatives. He was reading my novels. He and Karen were, and they liked them, and they invited me to come out for lunch one day in Washington, and that began a friendship that continues to this day. He continues to read the book, although he's a little busy right now. I sent him the Tourism Assassin, but I'm sure that he hasn't read this one. But you know, but again, men, a man and woman, a couple of deep faith, and who really believe that God has called them to serve this country and serve the president. And I will say, like, I don't know the president well enough. I've met with him, but I can't. I don't know if he's a man of faith, but he's certainly a man who's clearly been touched by the grace of the Christian community, who has shown him compassion, kindness, grace, honor. And that's what we're supposed to do with leaders. It's not that we have to agree with them on everything.
Right, and forgiveness. We've got to go to break. We've got more from Joel Rosenberg after this. Stay with us.
I'm Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder and director of Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and TrumpsArmy.us. Are you willing to stand with President Trump and the U.S. armed forces he commands to help defend the office of the president, the streets of America, and the U.S. Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Then go to TrumpsArmy.us and allow me to reward you for your patriotism as only I can. TrumpsArmy.us. We are Trump's citizen patriots. TrumpsArmy.us.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Back with the America, New York Times best-selling novelist Joel Rosenberg has delivered it again, a chilling new political thriller, The Jerusalem Assassin. First dual U.S.-Israeli citizen ever to meet with Saudi Crown Prince, pens the thriller imagining historic Saudi-Israeli summit threatened by terrorists who will stop at nothing to block peace. Well, I'll tell you, that's the foundation for the Jerusalem Assassin. And we know that when you have summit, it makes it ripe for somebody to come in and disturb what is about to happen.
Well, Bill, you know, it's interesting. When I got the idea for this novel, The Jerusalem Assassin, several years ago, when I got invited to bring the first ever delegation of Christian leaders to meet with the Saudi royal family, and they told me not in 300 years of the Saud family control of the Arabian Peninsula had they ever invited Christian leaders to come to the palace, ever.
Oh, wow.
And I was the first one to do it, and by, you know, God's mercies, there was no reason to choose me. But as we went, we began these conversations, I began thinking, wow, I wonder if at some point we are watching the Saudi nation and leadership turn from the fount of radical Islamism, right, the fount of radical Wahhabism,
mm-hmm.
to something more moderate, more peaceful. The Saudi government has been it's been a forbidden kingdom, dark. They're deeply problematic, corrupt, and, you know, the birthplace of bin Laden and the whole Al-Qaeda movement.
Yeah, the Khashoggi deal as well.
Yeah. I got invited. And then, before we got there, about a month before, Jamal Khashoggi was brutally, horrifically murdered in the most unconscionable just act. So then the question becomes, do I go or do I not go? Do I take this Christian leaders? You know, we decided to go, and we decided to speak very directly to the Crown Prince, ask him very hard and candid questions, to do it behind closed doors. We were not expecting this to be even known publicly that we went.
Mm-hmm.
But we also had issues of religious freedom for Christians in his country. There's not a single church there that we wanted to talk to him about. We wanted to pray for him and his family. The Bible commands us to pray for kings and all those in authority. We wanted to talk about peace. Would you ever consider making peace with Israel, even if the Palestinian leadership isn't ready? So then, do you go? Do you not go? We went. And in the end, the palace released four photos and put out a press release, and we were on the front pages of every newspaper in the region. And then he invited us to come back, and that was extraordinary. And so we have a lot of problems and a lot of issues and concerns about the Saudi government still and this particular leader. But we believe in honoring what he's doing right, and he's making a lot of important and good reforms, while also respectfully but directly and candidly and behind closed doors challenging him and asking him about things that we are not comfortable with in any way, shape, or form. Those became seeds for a thriller. You know, again, not based on what we actually said in the meetings, but let's extrapolate a number of years down the road. Could the Saudis become ready for a big, high-profile peace treaty and peace summit with Israel in Jerusalem? Mm-hmm. I live in Jerusalem. My wife and kids were there. I have a son that finished the Israeli army, one that's in the Israeli army. You know, and so we've never prayed more for the peace of Jerusalem. Right. And moving there, right?
Yes, exactly.
So that became the genesis of sort of a thought exercise, a war game in my head about a future Saudi-Israeli peace deal and what that would do to bring bad guys, unfortunately, out of the woodwork to try to blow it up. That became the premise of the Jerusalem Assassin. And, you know, Bill, most political thriller writers, you know, you come up with an idea, but you don't actually get to go and meet and spend hours with the senior leadership of the very country you're writing about.
No, this is incredible. This is a total God thing, Joel, to be able to have
absolutely.
That. I mean, that is amazing. And, of course, you know, this plot line, it's not like, you know, the wisest man ever, Solomon, said there's nothing new under the sun. You know, we've seen a similar plot line happen when there was peace being worked on with Jerusalem. Somebody gets assassinated, right?
Well, that's right. When we think of the most dramatic visit by an Arab leader to Jerusalem. Well, clearly that was Anwar Sadat, 1977. He had just 4 years earlier planned the invasion of Israel, the capture of Israel on our highest holy day, Yom Kippur. 4 years later, he's on a motorcade from Ben-Gurion International Airport in Tel Aviv up to Jerusalem, speaks at the Knesset. Israelis are weeping, imagining our worst enemy coming to try to make peace with us. And that was and he made peace, but he also gave his life for it. Exactly. He was assassinated in Cairo. A number of years later, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin makes peace with King Hussein of Jordan, 1994. But what happens? Rabin is assassinated in Jerusalem. So, tragically, but historically consistent, people who make peace become a target.
Yes.
And I wanted to write a thriller about probably what would become the most historic peace treaty ever between Israel and Saudi Arabia, if it ever happened. But also some of the worst case scenarios that could play out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just hope that peace will happen without having to protect and defend against those who are hell-bent against peace.
Exactly. And Joel, we have the Bible as a guide, too, to give us an indication that at some point Israel's neighbors will be at peace, but then all hell breaks loose. But we're still not there where the neighbors are at peace. But I know that those prophecy experts look at what transpired with you and the Saudi government, and it seems that there has been some softening. Now, not a total peace in the context of the concept, but yet some softening.
There's definitely softening, and I would say it's not just Saudi Arabia. We're seeing real movement towards peace in Bahrain, which hosted the summit, the economic summit that Jared Kushner wanted to do to promote how do we invest in peace and $50 billion into the Palestinian economy to create jobs and to make lives for Palestinian people better. That was hosted in Bahrain. Mm-hmm. United Arab Emirates has also been moving towards Israel to become towards peace. Morocco, Oman. Oman is a little tiny Gulf country that most Americans couldn't find on a map, have never even heard of, many of us. But they hosted the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, just about a year and a half ago. In a private visit, like, what is happening? Azerbaijan is a Shia majority Muslim country right next to Russia, right next to Iran.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel visit twice.
Exactly.
And they want me to come and bring a delegation of Christian leaders. So we're at a moment that's very interesting.
Yes.
But even as the good things are happening, the bad guys, particularly Iran, but the Muslim Brotherhood and Hezbollah in Lebanon and others, are really gaining strength in terms of their arsenal of weapons, and their hatred of the United States and Israel is just hitting, epic proportions. And, a lot of cross currents in the Middle East. And again, they're reflected in this new political thriller.
Exactly.
The Jerusalem Assassin.
So novel 14, a quick summary and a wrap from Joel Rosenberg on his latest novel.
Yeah, what if the American president tries to get ready to roll out his big peace plan and the architects of the plan start getting assassinated? How would you handle that? And then what if the Saudis wanted to make peace with Israel and have a big summit in Jerusalem and terrorist plan to blow the whole thing up and take out the president of the United States, the leader of Saudi Arabia, and the Israeli prime minister all at the same time? And Marcus Riker is my hero, former Secret Service agent, former Marine. He's the guy tasked with making the summit safe. And I hope people will get it. You don't even have to go to the bookstore. You can have it delivered to your house, download it on your e-reader if you want, or even download it on your phone in audio. The Jerusalem Assassin, you can learn more about it at joelrosenberg.com.
Joel Rosenberg here on Bill Martinez Live. Joel, thank you so much for being with us. God bless.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Great to be with you.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world, then bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 888-789-5040. 888-789-5040, 888-789-5040, 888-789-5040.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An unidentified Wisconsin hospital pharmacist was arrested on Thursday on suspicion of sabotaging more than 500 doses of coronavirus vaccine by deliberately removing them from refrigeration. Nearly 60 of the doses in question were administered before hospital officials determined the medication had been spoiled. Microsoft said the suspected Russian hackers behind the breach of numerous U.S. government agencies also accessed the company's internal source code. Microsoft said they detected unusual activity with a small number of internal accounts, and upon review, they discovered one account had been used to view source code repositories. Microsoft declined to say which source code the hackers viewed. Source code shows how computer programs work and is used to build software. Postseason matchups between number 2 Clemson and number 3 Ohio State are becoming a standard college football tradition. The Sugar Bowl will be the fifth time these two programs have met, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Gil Martinez, live.
With you 28 minutes before the top of the hour, and I'll tell you, our conversation with Dana Lesh coming up about her new book, Race Canceled, couldn't be more opportune in light of all that we are realizing under this chaos brought to you by the coronavirus and those on the left. She writes that outrage has become just another political tactic. Now think about this. A society addicted to outrage is in trouble. It's seductive yet toxic drug that kills reason, nuance, and kindness. I couldn't have said that better. Dana is a former spokesman for the NRA, has been the target of as much outrage as anyone, if not, if you remember what happened in Florida, right? After the Parkland shootings, and she was there along with Marco Rubio and the way she was attacked. And as she forthrightly acknowledges here, she's dished it out as well, as passionately attached to faith and freedom as ever. She warns that our addiction to outrage has debased our politics and reduced us to a vicious tribalism. I mean, think about it. I mean, you just heard in the news about what happened at the Trader Joe's there in New York. I mean, this run on goods and people's. I got to tell you, the left is celebrating that. They love that when America, a united America, becomes ununited. And we've been saying that for a long time. We're no longer the United States. We've become the ununited states because of all the tribalism, all the hyphenation. This is why I resent, you know, being Hispanic. People would say, well, Bill, you're Hispanic, you got to have this worldview. No, I was raised differently.
I was raised to think of America as all of us being Americans. Yes, we come from different cultures, and thank God for that, because we got great food. I mean, you wouldn't have churros, man, if it wasn't for the Mexicans, so calm down, or tamales. And, you know, what would your day be like then? But, you know, we don't need to hyphenate Hispanics to somehow, because that's not inclusionary, okay? It begins to exclude us. And our father, a World War II veteran who, you know, brought into this world, this country, 9 kids, okay? And he left an incredible legacy, taught us that we were Americans. He didn't hyphenate it and say, well, you're a Mexican-American. This is all what this tribalism is all about. Dana joins us now. Dana Lesh, an honor to have you with us. Congratulations on the book, Grace Cancel.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
I was just bragging on you just a moment ago, because one of the first things I wanted to talk to you about with you was I could not tell you how impressed I was with how you handled yourself at that event in South Florida after the Parkland shootings. Your grace that you exhibited when you knew you were going into the lion's den was incredible.
Well, I appreciate that, and it was kind of all, it was all incredibly short notice as well,
mm-hmm.
Because I think it was on a Wednesday, and I found out late Tuesday, that I was going to be going down there, and then Wednesday afternoon, getting on the plane, or late afternoon, that's when I found that I was going to be on stage. But I thought it was like some of the other town halls that I've seen, where mm-hmm. you have all of the people kind of sitting in a circle on the stage. And then when I got there, that's when I realized, and the producers told me, they said, well, you're going to be just on stage, that there's going to be several people at a time, and you'll be up there with, at that time, it was Scott Israel, who was the Broward sheriff. So, I mean, I knew it was an ambush going into it, but I didn't realize that it was going to be like that until right before. So it was, and I write in the book, I get into everything, you know, going down there, and then after, and what the impact was on my kids as well, who weren't supposed to watch it, but my mom let them watch it. And that wasn't great for them, because they were really upset over all of it. And my oldest particularly was really upset. He's 18 now, and he's a freshman in college. And he was incredibly upset by all of it. My youngest is crying, and he was in tears.
Yeah.
And my oldest son was livid, because he felt that the network and the people that were there had used them as pawns in what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I acknowledge what he felt. And I realized too how important Grace was in all of that, because my oldest, who is, he wants to go into constitutional law.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want him to become, for the lack of a better way to put it, so politically legalistic.
Yes.
That he doesn't know how to demonstrate grace for anybody. And I wanted him to see that you can respond to an overwhelming wave of hate with grace, because the way people react, that doesn't determine your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was incredibly important. That was one of the reasons why I wrote the book. That and then a Norm Macdonald interview.
Right.
But it was important for me that he saw that, because I didn't want him to have that impression that this is how it always is only ever going to be, and so I have to be doubly harsh in return. And I didn't want him to think that.
Well, two takeaways for me was that my first thought was, how many other people, male or female, could have withstood that? That was my first takeaway. And been ambushed like that and maintained grace and sanity. And the other thing that I saw in you, Dana, is what I've seen in President Trump as well. And that is this distinct and avid connection with the truth. And when you are controlled by the truth, you can withstand those blows. You can exhibit grace, and you can sit in grace. And the part of scripture that comes to mind is from the book of Ephesians. It says, having done all to stand, stand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's what you did. You did everything. You kept standing, and you stood on the truth, as President Trump has been doing time and again. And both of you have been examples, whether it's to your children. I talk to people, and I mention you about that experience and what I saw and what the key takeaways. And I'm so glad that you have written this book, Grace Canceled, because this is going to help congeal that important lesson that I believe is a great takeaway for all of us. And even what we're seeing right now, especially in light, as I was saying earlier before you came on, in light of this rabid environment over the coronavirus that we're in the middle of right now.
Oh, my gosh. It has. I've never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. Social media definitely intensifies everything. And I even write about that in the book. But with this, I don't want to say news cycle, but with this pandemic, which is, you know, obviously, and I keep telling people it's the geographical area that it's describing. It's not necessarily describing, you know, the fatality rate. It's just how widespread it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen people. It's worse now than it has ever been. And when I look and see what politicians are, you know, like, for instance, Joe Biden's remarks yesterday, and then Bernie Sanders' remarks yesterday, how in the world is that helping? And here you have the president and vice president that are discussing ways to expedite the testing kits and expedite any work towards a vaccination, which has been ongoing because the administration has been putting together this task force this December, which nobody acknowledges. I don't acknowledge that China was suppressing releasing the gene sequencing for this mutation. So that everyone was behind the ball in terms of trying to take the steps to meet it. And instead of, you know, focusing on everything that we can do to come together and make it, contain it as much as possible or limit the spread as much as possible. I mean, really people playing politics, which is like, I mean, it's not the Titanic, but it's like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, for the lack of a better analogy. I mean, it just seems so insane to me. And the lack of grace, even during the time of a pandemic, is, I mean, I think it just reinforces how the thought of how polarized we are. And I get into all of the binary tribalism that we see. I discuss that in the book as well, and how ultimately this addiction to a graceless outrage has killed nuance, and it's made it to where redemption is denied. One of the things that really stuck out to me, and you remember when Hillary Clinton was calling everybody deplorables.
Right.
And that was awful. The word, though, that really I thought was even worse came after in the same remark. She said that people were irredeemable. Mm. And I thought, whoa, irredeemable. You're saying that because of politics, some people are more redeemable than others. And that really ultimately, I think, describes the driving thing of the left here, is the fact that they believe that some people are beyond redemption.
Suddenly she's God, right? And she determines who's redeemable. Boy, I'll tell you, I got to imagine that insult went straight into the heavenlies and was not received well. For her to make that kind of statement against God's creation, and God himself, who sent his son to redeem us all, has declared that we are irredeemable. You know what? I wouldn't want those words coming from my lips and to have to talk to God about it, right? We've got more from Dana after this.
From CBN Films comes...
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We are
offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
14 minutes before the top of the hour, Dana Loesch is with us, a relentless and fearless defender of the ideals and freedoms that made America great. Her brand-new book, Race Canceled, How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate, and Endangering Democracy. Race Canceled. Dana, as we were talking before the break, this tribalism is really setting us up, unlike what happened before 9/11. I would say that if this tribalism to this degree had happened leading into 9/11, we wouldn't even have had a moment of grace to come together and be unified against those that attacked us on 9/11.
No, I think I would agree with that. You know, obviously a very different scenario, but I think I would agree with that. It's something that you have to have in order to establish any kind of common ground.
Mm-hmm. So with us being hyphenated and individualized and, done everything to dress this country as the ununited states of America, brought to you by the left and primarily the Democratic Party. I mean, you've got to put it at the doorstep of where it belongs. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer and that, through all that they have done to this president for 3.5 years, it has been relentless. It has been one battle with the windmills like Don Quixote after another that has delivered nothing. And the media itself, what do they have to show for it? I mean, they hype this up, they get ratings for, you talk about a short cycle and a news cycle, and then they start to dissipate and they go in the tank. And they have gone through this. I mean, if you go from day one, you see this traditional arc that they're on. And again, we will find that once this current crisis has gone through its battle, right now
now they're getting, you know, getting the headlines, they're getting some ratings, but it will find itself at the bottom because they refuse to stay engaged with the truth. And in the ignorance of truth, boy, I'll tell you, you just leave yourself flailing, and this is what happens time and again.
No, I think I would agree with that. I mean, I get into a lot of that in the chapter on American tribalism in the book with the political and the opposites and what's driving the polarization and how even when people kind of discover any kind of common ground, the left will, even if it's one of their own, will persecute them, go after them, try to ruin their lives. We saw that with Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars. Common ground is a threat to thought control.
Common ground
is a threat to control, period. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things why it's so widely discouraged.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you go from, you mentioned Sean Spicer, and this week we saw Sarah Palin with a little comeback. I don't know if you saw her with the Masked Singer. I mean, it was interesting, the crowd's reaction. You know, they weren't sure what to make of it. I mean, at first they thought it was Tina Fey, but when they realized it was Sarah Palin, you could see this bit of a shock. But to her credit, again, you know, like yourself and what you example, you sit in the truth. You having done all you do, you just stand and, you know, I believe she won some more people over that night.
Possibly. It was very different.
Yes.
Say that.
Yeah.
It's not a show I usually watch, but no. It's very different indeed.
Well, how do conservatives, you know, how do conservatives fight back? Because I'm seeing conservatives, you know, getting reconnected with their courage. You know, I see more Donald Trump bumper stickers and signs out. I got to tell you, I have not seen one Joe Biden's bumper sticker.
He probably forgot to make them. He just forgot. He forgot to make them.
Yeah. Well,
Bernie can't afford it. So.
Yeah, either that or he put the wrong title that he was running for. If I had a Biden for Senate. Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. So what's your prescription for conservatives right now?
Well, I get towards the end of the book, there's a couple of different chapters where I talk about there are ways for conservatives to push back. I like how you put it, reconnecting with courage, because I think for a while, not that conservatives didn't know how to push back, but I think that they sort of felt that some people felt that maybe the fight, it was unnecessary or it wasn't worth happening. I mean, for so long, Republicans, and this was like in the early 90s and the 80s and even before that, really didn't place a huge emphasis on entertainment and in terms of message distribution through that and the importance of not the culture wars as they're almost stereotypically referred to, but everything from how everyone wants to identify as gender now and how it affects speech and everything else. I mean, there's so many facets to this. But I think that they felt that maybe the fight was just better to have in the political arena. And I'm glad that they've reconsidered that. And I think also conservatives previously saw in the last couple of Republican presidents that when they were criticized, and those presidents, particularly George W. Bush, when they were criticized or when they were attacked, when you didn't really see W. say anything. And at first people said, oh, well, that's, you know, very, very classy. He's not going to respond. But at the same time, that was one of his biggest faults.
Exactly.
As a politician, because people are seeing someone in whom they invested a vote, and it feels as though you're being attacked because the president that you voted for is being attacked, and people were being attacked. I mean, the Democrats said all kinds of things about the people who voted for W, just like they did about Trump, but W never said anything because they thought he and others thought the fight was beneath them. And you can have your surrogates go out there and do things, but the surrogates just were not assertive enough. And you can push back equally without compromising principle and still be graceful. Grace is not sanction of sin. Grace isn't, you know, acceptance of error. It is unmerited kindness. Grace, there is nothing in the definition of grace that means you have to ease back on any of your principles. It's just the manner in which you present them. So Christians and conservatives need to remember that and need to engage more.
Yeah, I think to your point, W, his father before him, the same way. I kept thinking during his father's administration, and even how he was attacked so mercilessly during Bill Clinton's campaign. I said, did you give up? Did you lose interest in being reelected? I can understand. I mean, because it really risen to a level of meanness that I don't know. We say it every cycle. This is the worst it's been. But it just seemed to be very personal, the attacks by Bill Clinton and, toward H.W. And maybe because Bill Clinton didn't even want you to bring any mention whatsoever of his, his paramours. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Possibly. And he tried to be nice on the outside and be dirty, back channel. But ultimately, and I think we need to remember that you're not compromising one iota of your principle. It's just the manner in which you present it. And some of the people out there, the closest they may get to our ideals and learning about them is, you out there, all of us out there representing them. And so each one of us needs to remember that.
Exactly. Well, you address in your book also the role that the left-wing media has played.
Yes. And I discussed, I opened that with discussing the town hall, but the media, and I have so many examples in the book, mm-hmm. But the media has definitely contributed to the polarization because it sells ads. They sell ads on people feeding into the outrage.
Mm-hmm. Dan, as a woman of faith, this has been your backbone and your foundation, for you and your family, holding to faith principles as you have. What is your encouragement to people of faith who just say, wow, I'm getting wiped out? I mean, I read the Bible, it says, having done all to stand, keep standing, do not grow weary in doing good. And, this is where it is. I mean, the battle can be wearying. What would you say to them?
The battle's already been won.
Yeah.
At this point, it's just how many people are we going to take to victory with us? And that's the job of folks that they have. You don't have to attend every fight to which you're invited, but if it is an engagement that helps further move the ball down the field and brings more people into the fold, well, that's fewer people you have to fight, and also it serves the better purpose, I think, ultimately of the kingdom and really the overall goal of advocacy too. And so I think they should be encouraged by that.
Yeah. Well, I like what David Limbaugh, a New York Times bestselling author, said, a man of faith as well, who said about your book, politics has always been a blood sport, but we're witnessing a disturbing level of incivility in our political discourse. We can passionately promote our views without being uncivil, but only if we extend grace to one another. He says, my friend Dana Lash, no stranger to passionate polemics, provides a thoughtful, constructive, and faith-based blueprint in Grace Canceled. I would say that, during this coronavirus experience that we're going through, and the self quarantining that's taken place, or the self responsibility to stay away from crowds, we might find ourselves at home with a little bit more time. And this book, Grace Canceled, is a great book to sit with and read and concentrate. And you're going to have moments, I'm telling you, as you go through this book, you're going to highlight and some points that Dana has made that are quite pondersome. And profound, I would say, if I can say that, Dana, because you have really been inspired here, and I would think that maybe sometimes, even as you are writing some of these things, you may have been amazed at how God used you in verbalizing, what is happening with our culture.
No, I definitely think that, because it was not the book that publishers expected me to write, for sure. I think they were expecting something that was more of a bomb throw, but it is controversial. I had a discussion with someone who said that, and there's not really anything shocking about grace. And I'm like, really? There's nothing shocking about grace? I mean, are you unfamiliar with the story of Jesus? Because, pretty sure that the 12 thought he was going to be pulling the sword out and chopping off heads. And
right.
He said, no, I got to fulfill my father's will. And he had grace, and he promoted redemption, which is what we definitely need to promote as well.
And we're going to promote your book. Available at all the usual places, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Dana Lash.com also.
Also, so check it out for more information. We're going to link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Dana Lash, Grace Canceled, How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate, and Endangering Democracy. Dana, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.